Thank you for this time together. Thank you for all the workers in this church. Thank you for the ones that are loving our children and loving them so very well. Lord, just soften everybody's hearts to hear my message today, message from you. In your name we pray, amen. I'm going through all the songs right now. I think it might be there. Yeah. All right, so this morning I'm going to talk to you about two of the main takeaways I got from the book, The Cure. And honestly, they tie perfectly with what the kids just said about Donna. The first point is God designed us to be in community. And this church is definitely one of my communities. And the second point is our community will affect eternity. And I think it's great that we talked about Donna this morning because she's one of the people I wanted to mention this morning in my sermon was Donna and the effect that I think she's going to have on my children's future. She might not ever see, she might lose connections with the kids in the church. She might not live, you know, to see my kids raise children or their children, but what she's doing with them today is impacting how they're going to live their lives and how they'll bring up their children. And that's what this is all really about. So before I dive into the points, I wanted to give you the definition of community. Community is sharing or having a certain attitude or interest in common. Community comes from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia is fellowship, sharing, participation, and contribution. And if you take those four words, that's what the early church was based on. And those four words to me sound just like family. My question for you is, where do you go when you're lonely? Who do you turn to? Is there anybody that you can live mask-free around? The book reminds you that everybody's wearing these masks and they don't let people see behind them, so they don't get to see the true person behind them. So I want to know who you take your mask off in front of. Who do you let know who you truly are? If we were being truthful, I would love to say the church is a place where I can take my mask off and be who I want to be in front of everybody here. But most people, church is a place where they want to put on their mask the most. Even for me to speak up here this morning, it makes me afraid, makes me want to cover everything I've ever done up instead of being up here and being free and open. But that's the way we should be. That's the way we should be with each other. We should be able to be vulnerable with each other. Why do we do this? Why do we want to hide our truths? The Cure had a quote. It said, "What if it was less important for stuff to be hidden than for stuff to be fixed?" What would our churches look like if we didn't hide anything? If we could just leave what needed to be fixed out there? What would our towns look like? Just remember, Bruce was mentioning to us how we are supposed to be, not supposed to be saved sinners, but saints who still sin. And that's okay. So it's okay if someone around you knows you messed up. They can help walk you through it. God is not waiting for you to sin less, but for waiting for you to love more. The book talks about a time in most people's lives when they were able to live mask-free. And that book jumps right into a time frame of childhood. So in childhood, I remember riding my bikes, swimming in creeks. I would be laying in the grass with my friends, and we would talk about everything. There was not a topic that we wouldn't talk about. And we wouldn't go home until we were forced into it. Why was that time so easy? Why did friendship come so easy? Why was talking so easy? And that was because we had each other's backs. We gave permission to speak those hard truths. Even if we didn't speak them well, we gave permission to each other to do so. Even if we didn't say it well, or even if we thought there might be some conflict, we knew the next morning if we looked at each other, all was forgiven, and we were ready to go out on that adventure again. We never tried to fix each other. We never tried to hide anything from each other. Well, then we fast forward to now, and what do we see? We see scattered debris of relationships we always thought would be there. So many friendships went away. We grew our hearts harder. We started guarding them. We slowly focused on what we could accomplish and what we could do ourselves. We slowly put a wall up, didn't let anybody in. We didn't want hurt again. But God never intended for any of us to live this life alone. The Christian life should not be spent alone. In John, it tells us, from the very start, there was community. He said, from the start, the Word was with God. And the girl, so that was showed right there was something with God. Then when God created the world, the first thing he said was, it wasn't good for man to be alone. And we read that in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So that's when he created Eve. God created Eve, and he said that their community was very good. Loneliness hurts because God created us for community. Connection is in your design. When God confronted Adam and Eve about their sin, Adam immediately blamed his wife. He drove a small wedge in between the same partner God designed for him. Connection was lost then. Community was broken between those two. A relationship was fractured, and the connection was lost. Loneliness is a product of the fall, a result of sin. So only God could fix that. After the fall of humanity, Scripture tells us that God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden as he was holy and a holy being, and he couldn't dwell with sinners. So he sent them away. But I'm very thankful that wasn't the end of the story. God redeemed relationships in our lives. We have the joy of experiencing Christian community, and we can share life together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The rest of the scripture tells us how God continues to make a way for his people to unite once again. In Ephesians 1:3, it reads, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work on those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires, and throughout, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Remember, Jesus didn't have to die for us. He chose to because his love for us. Once the fall happened, he could have turned away from Adam and Eve because they betrayed him. But in reality, we've all betrayed him since then. But his steadfast love for his people endures forever. So another quote that comes from the book The Cure reads, infection spreads like poison until antibiotics are introduced. Our infection is sin, and nothing in us can fix or absorb sin. We need the cure, and the cure is Jesus. And that really hit me, because what if we didn't have Jesus? What if we didn't have the cure that we need in us? By stepping down from heaven, Jesus stepped into a flawed, difficult community that leads to loneliness. We see stories of his friendships disappointing him, people not wanting him around, and others refusing to understand him. This kind of reminds me of who we might face this week. It's Thanksgiving, right? We're going to be facing people that might have abandoned us, might have hurt us because they're humans. They might have not always wanted us around. They might not understand us, especially the Christian us. I face that in my own life. Not everybody understands me because I follow Jesus. But I'm reminding you this week as you go into your families, sitting at the table, that you might be around people that might need that cure. They might need Jesus. So just continue to show your love for Jesus to them. We can clearly see when we look at Jesus' last night before the crucifixion, not only did one of his best friends turn him into authorities, but the rest of the disciples ran away from him when the situation got scary. They left him alone. Could you imagine your worst night and all the people around you leave you? Or your best friends leave you? Like, that really hit me that they left him just alone. Jesus experienced the loneliness that comes from friends abandoning him, but even worse, he felt his once perfect community ripped from him on the cross. God turned away from him. He turned away as Jesus took on the weight of humanity's sins. The community he felt for all eternity was for a brief moment gone. He chose this so we could enter into a perfect community. So Ephesians 2:8-10 reads, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not for yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. For we are the handiwork God created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Corinthians 2:5-18. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us ministry of reconciliation." So that's my big point on just knowing that God created us for community. So if he would do all of that, it must be pretty important to him. If he would die on the cross alone, if he would experience all that loneliness so we would never have to feel alone, I think that's pretty big. I want to read to you Acts 17:26-27. "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they could seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." And then Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgave you." So God's not waiting for you to sin less. He's waiting for you to love more. And then John 4:19. "We love because he first loved us." So in the book, The Cure, my absolute favorite takeaway from probably the whole book was this little quote here. It says, "Jesus taught us our efforts will not focus on sinning less, but on loving others. We can strive to sin less, but not love more. But when we love more, we cannot help but sin less. This effort allows us to extend love to the wounded, angry, and unlovable. It is the effort of actually living out of who he had made us to be." So I challenge you this week, instead of gossiping with your family members, like instead of talking to your sister about your other sister or talking to your cousin about your other cousins, focus on loving that cousin that you may not even want to sit by. Like extend that grace so they can see the love. Instead of focusing on their sin, instead of focusing on your own sin, instead of focusing on how they may have done you wrong, focus on trying to show them love. And I bet you'd see a change. Reading through the scriptures, my attention was brought to the way we should relate to one another. These are the Lord's expectations in his love. He graciously provided a community where we have the opportunity to motivate one another to acts of love and good works in our Christian walks. I didn't put these on the screen because I'm going to hit them so quickly, but I just want, it's just kind of like a little list of things that God told us to do because it's something that he does. It says, "Love one another," and that's John 13:34. "Stir up one another to love and good works," Hebrews 10:24. "Encourage one another and build one another up," that's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Admonish one another in all wisdom," that's Colossians 3:16. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 4:32. Confess to one another and pray for one another. That's James 5:6. And serve one another. That's Galatians 5:13. If we did that with each other here in just this room, like, we would be an unstoppable community. Like, if we could confess each other what is going on, if we could just show kindness to one each other all the time, serve one each other, like, there would be nothing left undone. But all of those ways, if you could show, even if you're not very good at showing some of them, if we would do any of them, they would all have impacts on eternity. Just like I said with Miss Donna this morning and our children, what she's doing will, she's showing love, that's her passion, and our children are experiencing that, and that's going to affect their eternity. So the main character in the book, The Cure, finds the goal, the room of grace. The goal has always been to free you from your particular destiny. And then he said, his friend told him, the feeling you have tonight is God telling you, I didn't forget you, and I had made you for this unique influence you have on others. You are right on time, my wandering friend, right on time. So what they were saying to each other is, I didn't forget you. God didn't forget you. That he made you for your unique influence on others. Do we really believe that? Do you really believe that God made you for this time, for right now? Do you ever feel like, oh, I missed the good parts. I didn't give my good parts. I have no special talents. Because I sometimes feel that way. The main character actually mentions in another part of the book, at 25 years old, he stopped believing that God had anything significant for him. That he felt that God had created people a special way, and those people had special talents that could reach people, but God didn't create him that way to lead anybody to him. So he kind of just gave up, that he squandered all of his talents and his life was never going to mean anything. I sometimes feel that way. I feel like I don't really have any special talents that anybody would admire, let alone God, so why would he use me for anything? But God didn't forget you. He made you for this unique influence you have on others. Do you believe that? That's God, that God made you for this particular time. I think about people just that I've met in this church that have had an impact on my walk already. I was super lonely after I had Kendon because Nick worked a lot, and I didn't work at all at the time, so I was home alone with an infant and didn't really have any friends. So I was super lonely, and I decided to join the MOPS group here. And now, looking back, I just wanted to go. I wanted someone to watch my baby so I could talk to some adult women. I didn't really care about learning about Jesus. That wasn't a big part of my life. I just wanted some adult time. But in reality now, thinking back now, this Wanda popped in my mind as soon as I read this. Like, she was one of the ladies that were volunteering to watch my baby. So her holding my baby allowed me to go make connections with women who would deepen my relationship with Christ and then changed my walk so that I would actually be up here. But without MOPS, my husband wouldn't have the walk with God that he has, and I wouldn't. So it's just volunteering to hold a baby, you are changing the impact of eternity. Her holding my baby allowed me to make those connections, allowed me to grow my faith. It has now grown a lot. And Wanda never got to see me up here, but she'll never ever get to see the impact of me preaching the word into my children's lives, what they're going to do, or what their kids are going to be. So just holding her holding my baby has infected my whole life. And I actually spoke with Ben for a few minutes over this same thing, and he said, like Dave and Patsy and John Palmer and things taught him in Sunday school, and they probably just thought they were just filling in. They were just filling a hole, but in reality, the effect that they had on him is affecting his whole life, affecting the people he's reaching in Africa, and most likely, they will never, ever see the impact that they're having in Africa by teaching Sunday school here in America. And then I already mentioned, because you guys made me skip it, because Donna was up here early, but I was going to mention Donna and how much all the love that she puts into our kids. And she will never get to see until she gets, till we get to heaven, and then she's going to be meeting in heaven by people that she didn't know, because she might have led one of our kids to Christ at Sunday school, and they could have led them to Christ at the grocery store or at school or something, and they would never have known each other, but in heaven, she was going to be greeted by these people that she had an impact on. And I was just thinking about the Operation Christmas Child boxes. That's Molly's passion. And your passion can affect eternity. She will never meet the people that she's giving these boxes to, but it's her passion. I read an article where a girl, because this is the only gift, I don't know that that's ever been stressed too much to our church, but this is the only gift these people get. And those little gifts give them a time of connection with these missionaries, which can plant the seeds of Jesus in their hearts. So I read a thing that a little girl got a box, and it had one of those plastic recorders, and she was like obsessed with the music it made. So she played that recorder. She spent time with the missionaries. They helped her learn how to play the recorder. And then when she grew up, she decided to take on the flute because it was like the recorder. And now she had come to the States and is in a worship band. And so she's spreading the love of Jesus because someone put a recorder in her box that she got. So if you even think you're not doing anything, filling one of those boxes to help with Molly's passion is reaching people that you will never meet. But when someone gets to heaven, they're going to be there together, and she's going to get to thank them for that recorder that she got so long ago. Philip Yancey has a little quote that says, "Is it absurd to believe that one human being, a tiny dot on a tiny planet, can make a difference in history of the universe? This is exactly how God designed the kingdom. He heals and matures people in order to bring grace to the broken, and he uses your gifts, passions, and healing heart to reveal the glory of Jesus." So we need you. Even if you feel like your passion is nothing, Jesus needs you to walk in your passions, in your gifts, because even if you feel like it's the smallest thing, it's going to affect eternity. We need community of faith to grow up in Christ. We need to come to faith in Christ. We find ourselves in community. We recognize fellow believers as brothers and sisters in Christ. We bonded to one another in Christ as fellow recipients of grace and in the Lord's marvelous design. The Christian community is the place where we continue to grow into the fullness of Christ. We need one another's help to grow. If you want to know how we can grow, it's in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. The practice of Christian community provides us the opportunity to live out the gospel. It strengthens us to live the life in which we are called. We complement one another as we serve together. So that just right there, your strength is going to balance out someone else's weakness. So that's why God wants us together, so we can be a whole circle and be equal. Live as a community. We learn to exercise forgiveness when we have offended. We also learn to receive acknowledgement, and we need each other, and we belong to each other. I like that it reminds us that we learn to exercise forgiveness when we have been offended, because I know that happens a lot in our Christian communities. Once someone hurts us, we're like, I'm done with that. I'm going to find somewhere else to go. They hurt me there. I'm going to go somewhere where they can't hurt me. But I know if you study anything on relationships, if you can grow past your hurt, your relationship's going to be way deeper than anything you've ever experienced. Not only is the Christian community a place of refuge and safety and in time of need, but it is also the weapon we bring good news to the world with. This is a quote that says, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." I don't know where they got the quote from, but I thought it was perfect. See, Donna teaches the children, but we don't see what she's teaching them. They might not always use words, but how they love each other is what the world sees. My mother-in-law, me and my sister-in-law got hysterectomies at the same time. And my mother-in-law was very worried for my sister-in-law because she doesn't have a community. My mother-in-law literally told me, "I'm not worried about you. Your church will take care of you." And that's true. you guys are our community. You guys took care of me. You brought us meals. She didn't have to worry. So she, not being part of our community, could see the love you guys had for my family. And that is a love that not everybody has. So that's why we need our communities. The only gospel some people might see is that the love they see through a Christian community. That might be the only Jesus they see in your life. So what? What do I want you to take home from what I told you today? God built us for community. Community was right there from the start. It's so important that he would die for it. The people that you have in your community will affect eternity. Even when you don't see how living life with others could affect eternity, still do it. Still serve them, because it will. If you still think you've missed your timing to do what God's called you to do, I found this quote also in the book, and it really touched me. It says, Jesus matured in God's perfect timing, preparing for his astonishing destiny his Father had for him. Jesus did not strive to become better. He knew his Father was already pleased with him. Instead, he trusted his Father. And this is the path that we should emulate. So what that said there was, Jesus never tried to be somebody he wasn't. He never tried to be better than he was. He never tried to be better than someone else. He knew God had designed him just the way he was, to do the job he was meant to do, and that he trusted his Father that he would give him everything he needed to complete his mission. And I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust that he designed us the way we're supposed to, with the strengths that he gave us, with the weaknesses he gave us, to accomplish what we're supposed to. Even if we think it's super small, super mundane, it's something that's going to affect eternity. God gave you, if you feel like I'm too old to do anything, God gave you the time maybe to pray for someone or pray with someone or send someone a card, because you never know if that card is going to be something that they hold on to get them through their dark time into a time of light. You never know if your phone call is going to change their destiny. Like, I know it sounds like, okay, but it really can. Like, it just one little thing could actually, like we said, it was the butterfly effect. If any of you have seen that movie, they go back in time and they say, oh, don't step on a butterfly, because it literally could change the future. But the same butterflies that are back in time are right now. Like, anything we do now is going to affect everything we're going to do in the future. With that being said, this week is a huge holiday for Americans. And anything you could do this week can affect someone's future. If you are wearing a mask of loneliness, I want you to be brave and take it off. If you're holding some kind of like secret and you have Christian community, take your mask off and share it. If you think someone might be lonely, they might not know Jesus, invite them to your table so they can experience that love. You could literally change eternity just by bringing someone to your table this holiday. That's all I have for you today. I'm way quicker than Bruce. but I do want to open up. If anybody needs prayer, they can come up. I'm going to close some prayer. Okay. Father, help us see today that we are part of a spiritual family. Thank you that it is only because Christ that we have a place in this family. We pray that you help us grow in our identity as sons and daughters and brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for caring about our loneliness. Thank you for dying on the cross so we have community with you and will never truly be lonely. Help us grow closer to you, and help us grow closer to each other as children of God. Give us an understanding of what it means to live in community and how it is necessary in this century. Help us build a community. We know not to do this alone, so we ask that you stir our hearts to fight for one another, and to look out for each other's needs. Thank you for knitting our hearts together. Thank you again for this community, especially the ones that are loving our children so very well. In your name we pray. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.